You.
Always a lady.
Always. Yeah, she is always a lady. What are you on about?
That's for sure. So, and you know, you're my guide to a proper English gentleman, Dale.
Really? Lost cause already. It's not vanity, dear. It's vanity.
That's what I said, vanity.
No, you didn't. You said vanity.
I'll have to rewind the tape and find out. Yeah, one worm at a time.
Dear.
Yeah, so I thought, sod that for a game of soldiers.
The whole kit and caboodle.
No, gamut, dear. That's a much better word. That was a joke on a par with Nancy's. Well done.
Yeah, it was an oldie but a stinky.
Must be Shit Joke Day.
Hello, and welcome to Shit Joke Day here on the Happiness Grill. Sending your shit joke to Dale Who. Courtesy of the Happiness Patrol.
If you do, I'll kill you. And that's not a joke.
Death comes quickly by the hand of Dale Who. How long has it been on? About a week?
Cuckoo. Three series.
Oh, three.
It premiered on September 17th, 2009 on NBC.
Holy moly.
And where has Lewis been?
Not watching NBC, apparently.
You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Meanwhile, back at the plot. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 88 of the Happiness Patrol. We're glad that you could be here, and we're all excited and ready to go today. We've got a
we've got
a good day today. We're going to be talking. You know what? It's pick of the week. Pick of the week is back and better than ever. And speaking of being back and better than, hey Dale, yes Dale.
Whenever you say that Pick of the Week is back, why do you have to sing it every time you do it?
Oh, I don't know. I like singing.
I don't know either, but you do.
I don't know. I guess that's why I get excited and I start singing.
Yeah.
The hills are alive. Yeah, okay. So
that really must get you some Valium to sort of get excited.
Oh, we get something stupid going on there. But Dale, welcome. Welcome. Good to see you. Good week, Dale.
Good to see me.
Well, I'm looking at you on Skype.
No, you're not.
Well, I'm looking at your picture on Skype here.
Oh, dear God in heaven.
For all the, you know, for everybody who wonders, we're not in the same room. We're far away from each other. We just go and thank God sometimes.
Be grateful.
So I'm in Orlando. You know what? I'm in Orlando.
People know where you are.
Well, some people might not know. You know. Hey, oh, and by the way, Nancy, how you doing?
Yes.
Good to see you. Yeah. Somebody actually asked me if we were all recording in the same room, and I said no.
Oh, did they? Oh,
yeah. Okay. That's why I brought this up. Oh, God. You know, I think
we were recording in the same room, we wouldn't be talking over each other all the time.
A little bit.
True. There'd be visual clues.
That's true as well. Hello, Nancy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. You know, it's like there's almost an extra ghost in the room. There's almost the ghost of Leela in the room today. It's weird, isn't it?
It is weird. And you know what?
Get the salt.
Get the salt because the Happiness Patrol...
Salt and burn!
Because the Happiness Patrol starts right now.
Oh, Dale, did you see Tales from Television Center?
Oh, I saw it as it was broadcast. Oh, I cried.
I know. I got kind of weepy at the end.
It's such a good program, though. And it was a decently long program as well, which I loved. I loved the fact it was about 90 minutes as opposed to the usual 50. So that was great. And it was so nice to see TV Center being highlighted as a place of excellence.
Oh, yeah.
And I did love that. I did love that they had Katie Manning and Louise Jameson and Janet Fielding sitting in on a sofa in front of a TARDIS. And at the end, they sneak into it to go away. It was really sweet.
Yes, but did you notice the extra dematerialization that wasn't on screen?
I didn't see that yet.
The sofa dematerializes first. They stand up next thing you see, they're all piling into the TARDIS and thinking, where's the bloody sofa gone? It was there a second ago. So that, I think that vanished first. But Peter Davison's on there as well.
Yes.
So it's very, very good.
It was. It was really nice.
It's a really nice story. And there's lots of Who in it.
Yes. I was pleasantly surprised with all the Who. But yeah, it was lovely.
That's cool. We need to find a link to that and put it up on our site. So that'd be fun.
What are you, Mr. Linkage, today?
Well, we gotta spread the love, baby. Spread the love.
He's Abraham Lincoln.
Oh God.
Ooh, that stank.
I'm wondering how many are in England. You know, that's another thing. You know.
Here we go. 21st of May by Mike Lyon. My pick of the week is the Happiness Patrol DVD starring Sylvester McCoy and Sophie Aldred. The story is great, and the Candy Wan.
Yes, Vanity, thy name is.
Yes. Candy Wan.
Obi Candy Wan Kenobi is one of my favorite villains. By the way, we love the podcast. Dale Who is my favorite reviewer. Have a nice death. Well, that's a nice sentence to put straight after Dale Who's my favorite reviewer. Thanks, Mike. Dale Who's my favorite reviewer. Have a nice death. Lovely. Cheers for that.
Hey, well, don't scare our fans away. We need them.
That's another thing of Who news. Did you see Moffat's comments?
What's that?
About Who and Sherlock storytelling.
No, I did not.
He had a bit of a go at all the people who are criticising Sherlock and Doctor Who for being over complex, saying, well, frankly, they must be a bit stupid.
Oh, wow.
He actually said that as well. He said, Sherlock and Doctor Who, they're not over complex, and anyone who thinks so is, well, frankly, a bit stupid. I'm like, oh, fantastic. Wow. I love this man.
That's
it's so fun. So, yeah, you know, yeah. He's had a go at them as well. But to be fair, I've yet to meet a kid who has a problem understanding the Doctor Who timeline and stories.
Mm-hmm.
It's always adults that never get it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Anyway, should we do Pick of the Week?
Let's. Hey, Nancy.
Yes.
Since you're the lady of the house.
She's a lady.
I go to the ladies' room.
Well, maybe this lady testy clay.
Let's have you do your part with your Pick of the Week.
Okay. I've been thinking a lot about the episode 11s of the new series.
Uh-huh.
There's something about the 11s. They're either really good or really bad or just really controversial. It seems like
you mean every 11th episode of each series?
Yeah, there's something about episode 11.
Wow.
I don't know what it is. Cuz okay, let me give you
Sesame Street to start this.
No. Uh-huh. I was just thinking about the 11th. Okay, Boomtown, Fear Her, Utopia, Turn Left. Well, then you get into Matt Smith, and then it's The Lodger and The God Complex. They're either like really great or really awful.
Ooh.
Or very controversial.
Which one was Love and Monsters? Was that an 11?
That wasn't an 11.
Damn.
That was a 10.
Thank God it wasn't.
But the 11th one I'm going to talk about today is Boomtown.
Yeah. Boomtown.
Oh, good
Boomtown
stuff.
Because that was the very first episode of the new series that I saw.
Oh.
And that's what sucked me in. Because I was cruising, you know, channels looking for something to watch with my son, and we happened to run across Doctor Who. And I'd been seeing the ads for it, and I was thinking, oh, when they bring back shows, they never do a good job. I don't want to watch that. And there was really nothing else on, and I had to entertain him, so I turned it on, and I was completely sold. You know, it was, I just loved the interaction between the doctor and Margaret Slidin. You know, I thought that was a really nice little, and you know, their dinner together. It was just beautiful. So that's my pick of the week because I love it and it's what brought me here.
Wow. So back into who?
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
The way they use the locations in Cardiff, and now that I've been to Cardiff, it's like, oh, I know where they did that.
Uh-huh, yes.
So, yeah, I like it. It's fun, and you know, I like the playful interaction between Rose and the Doctor and Jack, and it was just
what
good.
Are you captain of the innuendo squad.
Yeah,
I love that. That's a brilliant line. Dear.
And it set up a lot of stuff that came back later in another 11th episode, Utopia. Yeah.
And it also had a very good explanation of the TARDIS.
Yes, it did.
Inside and out. Mm-hmm. So it was great stuff. Actually, it's a very, very good episode.
Yeah. So, and it doesn't get enough love. So I just thought I'd say that.
No, it's a very good story. I do like Boomtown. I have to say that Margaret, you know, she's brilliant.
Yeah, she is.
It's the whole, the you know, obviously comedy teleport sequence at the beginning. You know, what did I ever do to upset you? Well, he tried to kill me and take over the planet. Well, apart from that.
You know, it actually kind of gave some validation to the Slidin as an enemy. Because they were kind of joke enemies when they first appeared, but I think this really made them deeper. And it's probably the only time they were deeper.
Yes. I thought they were very, very good. Yes. Mm-hmm. I really, really did like it.
I don't know why I thought that was the first introduction of the Slidin. Maybe because it did seem like they were like an official enemy now. You know, that
was
kind of
Aliens
thing.
Of London, wasn't it? And World War III?
Yep.
So this would have been the third Slidin story.
Slidin.
Jesus. Maybe that's where they got their name.
Jesus can help you. Annette Badland, that's her name. Yes. Yeah. I just Googled her. There we are. Annette Badland. She's very, very good. So, yes.
She is.
And it's the first use, which comes back later on in Parting of the Ways. It's the first use of looking into the heart of the TARDIS.
Yes.
So that's very, very clever. It's working very well at that point to set up for the big, you know, the first big finale.
Now, who wrote that one? Who wrote Boomtown?
Oh, guess.
Russell T.
Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
I think it's one of his better ones. You know, it worked on every level. The ending wasn't shit, you know. All the criticisms people have of RTD, you really can't say that any of them are there.
Yeah.
You know, except for Mickey being kind of a wimp. But he's actually, you know, he kind of grows a pair in that episode, too. That's the beginning of him growing a pair.
So, I have to revisit that. I haven't seen it in a long time.
You do, so, yeah. It's very good.
I was never a fan of Mickey. I'm sorry, I really, really wasn't.
I like
he grew on me.
Yeah. He did. He started out pretty wimpy, but I like the fact that he had a character arc, and you know, he was a different person at the end than he was at the beginning.
I liked him later on. Literally, I didn't like him with Eccleston's Doctor, but I thought he worked much better with Tennant's Doctor. Mm. Well, that said, he does have a few shining moments with Ecky Doctor as well. Mm. You know, kind of when the Doctor says, "Do you want to come with him?" And he says, "No, I want to stay here, but you look after Rose and don't tell her."
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite nice.
My pick of the week is a David Tennant.
Yes, it is.
And I was like, it was actually a series two episode. The Idiot's Lantern is what I picked this week.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
I like it. You know, first of all, I'm a sucker for period costumes and settings when it's done right. You know, an Idiot's Lantern was just done right. You know, it was an enjoyable little show. I mean, you know, The Wire, what a great premise for a bad guy. Hungry, you know, it's just...
Bad girl, what's a bad guy?
Oh, yeah. Well, bad girl, yeah.
Baddie.
A baddie, I guess I should just say. Genre, whatever. So, yeah, but I love The Wire. I mean, the whole premise of The Wire was just very cool. And the actress, who was the actress that played?
Maureen Lippman.
Oh, my God, she was good. She was just so over the top in the right way.
Do you know why she was over the top?
Why?
Because she wasn't given any background material and she was given nothing to watch. She was just basically put into a booth and filmed. So she went rather OTT because she didn't know where to be pitching it.
Right, right. Wow, how that, funny.
That's why The Wire was so OTT.
Well, I wonder if they wanted it that way. You know, it's interesting.
I don't know. But so. It's... She's very good. I mean, I've always got tons of Maureen Lippman. She's a very good actress.
But I didn't realize till just recently when I was reviewing it to talk about it that this was a Mark Gatiss. Episode. Yeah, yeah. So
it was very good.
It was a lot of fun. I mean,
it's not one of my favorites at all.
It isn't. Why is that, Dale?
It's for me. It's very similar to The Unquiet Dead. Mm-hmm. You know, it's another menace that's intangible. So, you know, the first one was gas creatures, you know, something in the gas pipes. Mm-hmm. You know, so the ghosty, spirity thing.
Right.
This is exactly the same thing, but with television as opposed to gas.
Well, did Mark Gatiss write that one also?
Yes,
he did. Wow. Yes, well, you know, in both of those episodes, there's some really spooky moments. And Idiot's Lantern when. You know, the wire takes away your face, you know. And when you first realize that, you know, when the doctor's...
Star Trek episode, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, that's true. But I thought you didn't want to mention Star Trek when we talk about Doctor Who.
when he was patently obviously ripping it off, as that one was. Because there was a Star Trek story in the classic series, was there not, where this thing was going around and basically hoovering off people's faces.
Oh, I think you're thinking about the scene from Charlie X where Charlie got upset because he was trying to be introduced to the young lady on the Enterprise that was more appropriately his age, and he did his little eye thing and she walked around like, you know, with no face. That was spooky. That was damn spooky. And maybe that reminded me of that image, because that was damn spooky when I saw it as a kid. When I saw it in Doctor Who, when the doctor's thrown in that cage and all these people are like kind of walking toward him, and then like they come into the light and you see that they don't have a face. Yeah, that was pretty damn spooky. But yeah, you know, just little things like that. You know, I like the way this episode was done. It was just great. The David Tennant's hair was fantastic.
All of New Who, you know, even in the worst stories, there are some amazing shining moments.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, there's some brilliant bit. The Doctor cobbling together a video recorder to tape The Wire, which I think is hilarious.
That was great.
Yeah.
And The Wire also being an American TV series, so the Doctor was taping The Wire. So it's very bizarre. Yeah, and... Oh, it's never too late, as a wise person once said. I think it was Kylie. And I'm like, oh dear, here we go. Kylie Minogue references in Doctor Who. So, it's got moments, but I don't like it very much.
I liked the bit where, you know, they weren't afraid to show, like, you know, here's this, you know, atypical British family. With the man is like, you know, the man of the house, you know, this 50s
kind
of man
of the house. But it wasn't a British family. That's the whole point.
But you know, I mean, so many were like that. I mean, so many people will tell you, like, you know, oh yeah, my dad was a hard ass. You know, he used to be really mean to us and my mom and that sort of thing. But you know what? He always provided, you know, that kind of thing. You know, this sort of stern type sort of father figure of the time. And, you know, they weren't afraid to show that. In that particular episode, and the way the doctor reacted to it, it was very cool, you know. And what gender is the queen? Female? Are you suggesting the queen should like
Rose
clean the house?
Taking down what's his face? Yeah, the man of the house was very cleverly done. You know, making him do the work for a second while she sits down for a bit. It was a very nice redressing of a balance.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But very much for a modern audience.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, little bits like that kind of just made that episode where it could have just been a very fear her type sort of episode. It wasn't. It has
bits of that story are still in Doctor Who now.
Uh-huh.
because there is a tiny little... actually, it's not that tiny. The TARDIS scanner.
Uh-huh.
Yo, if you look at Magpie. On the current TARDIS, yeah. It's made by Magpie Electricals.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
It's all in there. Literally, so... Although it's, you know, it's got its own little bit of hidden... Going back to Star Trek, there's a dedication plaque on the Enterprise, isn't there?
Uh-huh.
That's got the name of the production crew on it.
Yeah.
So it's really nice to have that echo in Who.
It is pretty
where
cool.
Where Electricals made the TARDIS scanner.
Yeah.
So very, very cleverly done.
Yeah, I think that, it was just really nice. I mean, and that's something that's... They don't talk about it. They don't speak much about it. But production-wise, you know, it's sort of like the production team getting and the art department directly, you know, getting their yayas out by doing that sort of thing. I think that's great. I think that's very cool. So plus, it was a beautiful logo. I love that logo.
It was. It was very 50s.
I have to say that Maureen Littman's character, you know, the Wires herself.
Ah. Uh-huh.
The way she communicates is very, very 50s and very, very proper, yeah, because she's obviously a BBC presenter.
Uh-huh.
That's the guy she's taking. But the way she speaks and the way she conducts herself is very proper. It's a very proper Doctor Who villain.
Uh-huh.
It's something you imagine from only British drama could have.
Right.
You know, a terribly well-mannered villain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, it was just a very, very, very British episode, particularly so. I mean, because of the coronation, of course, but still, you know, just little bits and stuff.
The bit with the psychic paper and the security guard and Ali Pally is hilarious. Okay. But you're going to be late, Your Highness. Who does he think you are? King of Sweden, apparently. That's another good thing, when the TARDIS landed and the Doctor rides a moped out of the TARDIS.
Yeah, exactly.
That was sweet.
Very funny.
And I love the fact that they were trying to get to Elvis Presley.
Yes.
And they ended up TARDIS. Not even in the right continent.
Yeah.
Were they in the right year, though? I can't remember. They were close.
Yeah, not terribly far. Well,
they were close enough.
Year,
that, yeah.
But wrong, literally, half a world away. Never mind. But it's not the first thing. Literally, again, Mark Gatiss thing.
Uh-huh.
Unquiet Dead. I've made a bit of an error with the programming. Where are we? We're not in Naples. We're in Cardiff.
Right.
So again, Mark Gatiss thing. Got the date and time wrong. Mm-hmm. He has to put that in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The rest of us just read it as read that the TARDIS is a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
So, you know, for the best time machine ever. So it's. But he does insist on shouting these things at you.
Oh, well. Sometimes it's good to have those things shouted at you. It's kind of fun. Just to
It works-ish.
To set the tone. But yeah, Idiot's Lantern. That's what I enjoyed it. It was really kind of cool to rewatch it. And just because I haven't seen some of that stuff in a while. And going back to see some David Tennant is fun. It's always fun. You know, he's fun.
A few years ago, my son and his friend did The Doctor and Rose from Idiot's Lantern for Halloween.
Oh, that's right. I remember seeing pictures. They were cute.
I sent you a picture of it.
Apparently, the Magpie Electricals brand is also on Mr. Smith and the Sarah Jane Adventures. Oh, I'm just looking it up. So, you know, Sarah Jane's computer. Actually, you see it on screen in Mark of the Berserker. There you are.
But Dale?
Yeah.
What's your pick of the week, sir?
Planet of the Giants. William Hartnell's story.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're 9 stories in? And Doctor Who does Planet of the Giants. It's actually called Planet of Giants, but it's Doctor Who does Planet of the Giants, or Land of the Giants, as the Irwin Allen's.
Land of the Giants, Irwin Allen. Irwin, I can't even pronounce
Irwin
it.
Irwin Allen?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. So the TARDIS doors open mid-flight, which is, you know, a bit bad, really, because it's not like the new series where you can just hop outside for an ice cream halfway through the trip. So they land and they're an inch tall, but it takes them an episode to realize it. And they've got some amazing sets on there. There's a giant, not that giant obviously, but giant to them, ant, and it's a beautiful ant. you know, the props department made one hell of a decent prop. They've got a giant packet of seeds and a giant box of matches and all this, and they use back projection a lot for one of the cliffhangers where a cat's threatening them. And it really is Doctor Who does Land of the Giants.
Oh,
but
funny.
It's actually very well done and very well played by the main cast.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. I have to see that one. I didn't even know about that one. How did that slip past the radar? Well, don't answer that. wow, that's cool. That's cool. It's amazing that you're going back to a William Hartnell story. That's cool.
You see, I have two theories on my favorite Doctor.
Uh-huh.
My favorite Doctor is always the current Doctor.
Uh-huh.
Because I think he deserves my undivided support, so he will get it. So when it was Tennant, it was Tennant. When it was Eccleston, he got it. Now it's Matt Smith, he gets it. But my favourite old-school Doctor has always been William Hartnell.
He sets the mould.
Yeah, but there was something a little more alien about him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't the willing adventurer that Tom Baker's Doctor was. Mm. He wasn't the, now I'll help the army because they can help me fix the TARDIS that John Pertwee was. He was quite serious and quite gruff. But at the same time, he had an amazing amount of tenderness in him. Literally, he acted the way he did because he was scared of losing people.
Mm. Yeah.
So, which you can see in the chase when he's trying to tell Ian and Barbara not to go home. Because he'll miss them. So it's a really nice thing. But I think Hartnell's Doctor is amazing. And if he hadn't made such an amazing job of it, we wouldn't be sitting here talking about
him
now.
That's true. That's very true. We owe a lot to Mr. William Hartnell.
We do indeed. So it's from the era when the TARDIS still lands silently.
Mm-hmm.
There is no landing noise.
Ah.
So, well, until about, God, when is it? I think about the rescue, it starts making a landing noise, but it's the takeoff noise, or at least a part of it. It doesn't actually become the landing noise we know today until well into Pertwee's era.
Hmm. When the brakes are on.
Yes.
So to speak.
Yeah, well, there's a version of it that happens in the Crotons, when the Croton activates the TARDIS HAD system by, you know, the HADs by firing at it, and it lands halfway up a cliff. And that's the first use of the noise being played backwards as a landing noise.
Oh, funny.
And then in Pertwee's era, they did it with the two final Vorps as opposed to the one which it's got these days.
So Planet of Giants. Tell us a little bit more. Why did you happen to pick that one out of...
Well, I was just browsing through them all the other day, thinking, you know, which era has the best stories, story-wise. Because I've been looking at a lot of old science fiction this week. My favourite science fiction film ever is The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Mm-hmm.
The original black and white version of that bloody appalling remake with Keanu Reeves. That pissed me off. Because nobody really dies in it.
Uh-huh.
And the special effects were in their infancy. So it had to be done with acting and emotion. And storytelling, as opposed to, you know, whiz-bang CGI.
I got you.
And I was thinking, well, Old Who has a lot of that because, you know, TV special effects were in their infancy.
Right.
But the props they came out with for things like Planet of the Giants are amazing. They're very simple, but they work terribly effectively. The sign as a Dalek Invasion of Earth, which is the next story on from this one,
right.
As the TARDIS lands beside the Thames, that sign on the bridge that says it is illegal to dump bodies in the river,
mm-hmm.
It is one of the most iconic images, you know, the TARDIS sitting next to that sign, that you can get from the old school Who. And it's not, you know, it's not a CGI effect, it's not this, that.
Yeah. It's just dynamic, it's very dynamic, and it makes an impression.
But it's so simple. It's a simple image.
Uh-huh.
But it's a simple, iconic image. Because they did it so well. And I love the fact that the early Who's relied on that a lot. So they relied a lot more on good writing and storytelling. And the leads carrying the story a lot more. So it's a lot more character-driven than current Who.
So is Planet of Giants out on DVD?
I don't think it is.
Hmm.
Last time I saw it, I've got it on my computer, but it was from a VHS.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, but it can't be that long because they haven't got that many left they can release anymore.
Well, it looks like just Googling it, there's a few. It looks like somebody's put it on YouTube, so it's in parts and bits on YouTube. So
that's cool.
It's scheduled to be released on DVD on Region 2 on 20 August 2012.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Next few months. That'll be fun.
That will be fun.
Which means I'll get it in July. That'll be nice. So, but it's a great story. It really is a great story. And Hartnell's brilliant and Susan's brilliant. Of course, it's, you know, Susan's penultimate story, but we don't know it at that point. And going back and watching it with that knowledge, you think, oh, is the character changing slightly?
Growing up. She's growing up a little bit. So.
Yeah. You can see a lot of that through all of her stories. That cool. Susan's mature.
Ah, cool, cool. So Planet of Giants. Go see it. Go on YouTube, search it out, and go watch it because it's. I'm going to do that this afternoon probably if I get some time.
A very, very good story. I do like it.
And Idiot's Lantern, I highly recommend it. Especially if you're a retro kind of fellow like myself. Like Mark Gatiss. And, you know, I love Rose. Rose looks great in that outfit. I just love it.
Gatiss co-writes Moffat with Moffat for Sherlock, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
So there's a hell of a lot of talent in that man.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Nancy, what was yours again? I'm sorry. I just totally forgot. I didn't write. I wasn't keeping notes. Boomtown.
Why do I even bother?
Because you love it. Well, thanks, everybody, for showing up this time and listening to the Happiness Patrol this week. Showing up and listening. Well, thank you, Dale, for showing up.
Yeah, like I have a choice.
And thank you, Nancy, for also showing up to record with me today. So, hey, you know, guy, we got to go. So we're going to get on out of here for this week. We will see you next week with some more Pick of the Week. And a little birdie, that's what Tweet should be called. It should just be called the Little Birdie Channel instead of just Tweet. Anyway, a little birdie told me that Leela is going to be joining us next week.
Yay!
Yes, that's the reaction I was hoping.
Is she really?
Yes, she is.
I wonder how you could possibly know that.
She's going to tell us all about...
He's psychic.
Yeah, I'm... psychic. So stay
and
tuned for that. Yeah, I'm telepathetic.
Can we hurry up? I've got some dusting to do.
Yes, we can. So, so anyway, gang, stay tuned for that next week. It's going to be an exciting show with Leela, the big re-return of Leela. So that will be wonderful. Re-return? Return? Just return. Whatever. I don't know. That's weird. So anyway, until next week, we will see you guys a little later. But if you
want... Excuse me.
Yes, sir?
Excuse me.
Yes, sir.
It'll be very nice to have Leela back. You haven't said that.
Oh, I thought that was just sort of assumed.
Why don't you say it and make Leela feel
okay,
welcome?
Okay, how about we do this? We're going to have Leela back next week. We're going to have Leela back next week. When I get excited, I sing.
She'll bloody boycott us when she starts singing.
The hills are alive.
Bloody banjo again.
And if you want some more bloody banjo, go to our blogspot, the Happiness Patrol, blogspot.com, and also follow us on Twitter.
Banjoblogspot.com.
Do what? Where? Banjo, bloody banjo.
Bloodybanjo.blogspot.com. Follow us on Twitter at bloodybanjo.troll. And we're also on Facebook under, oh God, bloody banjo.
I think you guys know the deal by now, so, you know, it's okay. Anyway, we got to get, he's got to dust, and Nancy, what do you got to do today?
On Google Plus
nothing?
I need to deal with all my children because they're out of school at 10:30.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Kill them all.
Sounds good.
Well, the last one's out at 10:30. The other one's working.
All right, then. Well, until next week. I'm glad she's working. But until next week, I'm Lewis B.
I'm Nancy A.
Dr. Sheldon Cooper, now go away.
We'll see you guys. Bye. Bye. Say bye. Say bye, Nancy.
Bye.
That's better.
Bye, Nancy.
You've been listening to the Happiness Patrol.
Hey, everybody. Lewis B. here of the Happiness Patrol with a little editorial note. All through this episode, I referred to this episode as number 88, and it's actually 89. So I am terribly sorry and apologize for the confusion that it may have arisen because of my lack of brainial, cranial type sort of gray matter that should be with me at all times. But you know how it is. It could be that way. So, anywho, rock and roll, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Happiness Patrol. Thanks for listening to episode 89, for crying out loud. So, and we'll see you next week.
You do know the rule about fleas?
What's
for
that?
Every one you see, there are 200 you can't see.
Ooh.
What, yeah. They got cloaking devices.
That's that, you know what that, that's that's right. That's kind of like that kind of applies to Whovians also.
No, yeah. It doesn't.
Ooh, nice segue.
No, it doesn't. For every Whovian you see, there are 14 more writing letters.
In their
I think that Stephen Moffat's era has gone downhill recently.
La 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 la. Fuck off and die.
I think I'll write a letter.